On this episode, we smoke the Lord Baltimore Nicaragua, and we talk about house cigars. What are they? What do they mean? And what can they do for you? I'm your host, Johnny Midas, and you're listening to Burn Line Podcast.
Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages over the age of 21? You are listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you, as always, not live from the Hot Box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made, adjacent to the Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge, nestled amongst the complex of rooms that comprise Davidus Cigars, Westminster, Maryland, USA. The only Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge in the state of Maryland, at least for now.
For now.
I'm Johnny Midas.
Now El Fumo.
El Fumo. Okay, we are smoking the Lord Baltimore Nicaragua. This thing is fucking awesome, but we're going to talk about it, you know, a little bit more after the Cotton Light. I feel like we need to get the cigars lit and start smoking on them. We do usually talk about presentation. These are polarized. These Versace official Johnny Midas edition. So if I hold the cigar this way, I can't see it.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Wait a minute. I'm not directional.
Anyway, the wrapper is this gorgeous, semi-rustic,
yeah,
you know, light brown.
I mean, you are literally holding 17 years of tobacco in your hand.
Yes, more about that later.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is fucking old.
Yes.
Like, older than my children. I like the...
Legit.
The Lord Baltimore, it's got the ship on it, but this is not, this is an expensive band. It's two bands and it's embossed. It's got gold, gold foil. This is how it presents. So it's got the cello and it has this foot sleeve.
Yeah, I think it's paper. It's an actual paper, not
paper foot sleeve.
Yeah, not like your traditional tissue wrapping.
So the only thing I don't like about that foot sleeve, to be honest with you, is the cigar's so gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, I actually want to see more of the actual wrapper.
So show me the goods, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Strip that cigar down. but it looks great. And then, of course, you got the box here, right? That's a gorgeous box.
Yeah, the blue, the navel blue.
Yeah, navel blue. It's got the gold.
It's actually got heavy-duty hinges, too.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's great. It's a great presentation. I mean, it's already got a leg up on Perdomo.
Yeah,
you know, like it's.
Yeah, I mean, and they're both like great tobacco for not a whole lot of buck.
Yeah, yeah. Not that I'm comparing and contrasting, like picking on anybody in particular. Right. I'm just saying, like, that's a above medium quality box.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like the, I mean, come on, we just had the Ometepe. It's in like a fucking treasure chest, you know,
literal treasure chest that came from a volcano.
Yeah, like you're not gonna top that, but it's pretty attractive. All right. The official cutting. I am using my Craftsman's Bench open-ended double guillotine, a product of J.C. Newman.
I'm using a El Septimo.
Bonse. Yeah, so that's pretty, a Zycar X.
Zycar, yeah.
El Septimo. And it has carved gold handles.
Looks like a very shiny penny. Like a very expensive penny.
Now, see, there's a collectability to these, like, over-engineered, overpriced Zycars. I've seen them with carbon fiber handles, American flag. I have one that is a Fuente Opus X. Throwing this cutter everywhere. And it was ridiculously expensive. What's the retail on this here at Davidus Cigars?
So, here at Davidus, it goes for $103.95.
Okay,
but it's so, a custom edition. Just, I doubt you can find it.
Less than half the price of my Fuente one.
Yeah, your Fuente one.
And of course, Zycar X1, you either, you know, like them or you don't, but they're widely considered one of the best cutters on the market.
And it comes with that leather sleeve.
And the lifetime warranty and everything else.
So, getting bang for your buck.
Right. The official cutting is brought to you by Fat Boy Cigars. The bold and delicious flavors of premium hand-selected tobaccos are highlighted in the OG Jacked cigar, as well as Boots on the Ground series. I hear the final edition of the Boots on the Ground series is getting ready to hit the stores.
Nice.
And as well as some other cigars. Mr. Chow, the War Pig, and of course, the New Lounge.
Nice.
Up there near Pittsburgh. Fat Boy Cigars, welcome to the Fat Boy's world. And as always, we remind you to clip that cigar with authority.
Holy shit.
No limp-wristed cutting loud. What you got?
That is one of the cleanest cuts I've ever had on a cutter.
Oh, yeah.
Holy fuck.
No joke.
No joke.
My Zycar X1, hands down, the sharpest cutter. In fact, the only drawback to it is it's pretty much limited to like a 58 ring gauge.
Okay. Yeah, this is like a Toro. This is it. Max right here.
Yeah, Toro. Maybe not even a 58, maybe a 56 or something. Yeah. You need an ashtray, dude.
Yeah, something happened.
Oh, here.
You have an Olivia ashtray.
Oh, an Olivia. That's an great. Olivia. Hashtag not sponsored to an Olivia ashtray today.
It's an Olivia. Yeah. All right. And we are tapping the head of the cigar that we just clipped.
No dottle.
Yeah, this is a really well-packed rolled cigar, and there's a reason for that. Rolled in the Plasencia factory in Esteli, Nicaragua, known for their quality.
Yeah.
Right?
May have heard of them.
Might have heard of those guys. That really is pretty. Yeah. I don't have my sunglasses on. I can see it.
Yeah.
Time for the official lighting, and I will be lighting with my ST DuPont I Am More Cool Than You lighter. Gold-plated Johnny Midas lighter. What are you lighting up with?
This Iron Man looking device here. No, it's actually another. It's an El Septimo.
Don't point it my way.
Looks like El Septimo quadruple torch.
Oh, so the El Septimo Genevieve, or Genevieve, whatever.
Yeah, check this out. Oh, hold on.
What is it when it's in Europe? Oh yeah, that's a lot of fun.
What?
So like. If GmbH is for company, if you're in Germany, it's like Inc. or LLC in the U.S.
It's like limited.
Geneva, is it LTD?
It might be limited. I don't know. I don't know European trade.
All right, so El Septimo Geneve LTD. No, that's something else in Switzerland.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I don't know their...
Is Geneva in Switzerland?
Yeah. No.
Or is it Sweden? One of them has Vikings and one of them is like really peaceful.
Yeah. One of them has really good chocolate too.
They both have good women.
Oh.
All right. So the official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee, which we are currently enjoying in our hashtag Team Johnny Midas cup and hashtag Team El Fumo cup.
That's right.
Featuring hand-selected beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, Mexico, and around the world. 2C Premium Coffee utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. And they're going to be at the market, I think, next weekend?
Yeah.
Up in the Berg?
Pretty sure. She's been doing a lot of events every weekend.
Art market? Yeah. She's on the circuit for sure. But fantastic coffee. And, of course, 2cpremium.com for all your coffee needs. This is the real deal, but it is affordable. It's not like...
Yeah.
You know, snobby, like, oh, we're going to charge you too much for your coffee.
Yeah, this is not like, oh, you know, this is a $30 bag or something.
No. This is excellent coffee, but it's affordable.
Oh, yeah. Really good.
It's approachable. I mean, depends on your definition. Affordable, you know? Yeah. I mean, hell, a $3 gallon of milk is affordable these days.
Right? Yeah, jeez.
2C Premium Morning Made Us. And as always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. So I am dropping this flame on the foot.
Yeah, it's summer. You know, toast them like you toast your marshmallows, unless you're evil and you burn your marshmallows to a crisp.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Don't do that. Yeah. Toasted. I don't know if have you ever toasted bread not in a toaster?
Yeah.
Okay. So like open flame, like when you're camping.
No, I've done it on a... No, not on a camping, but a 100-year-old brick oven.
Or, yeah, okay. But anyway, like when you're toasting bread,
it's
just like that. It's so similar. Meanwhile, El Fumo is launching the fucking space shuttle over there with a...
I gotta go rescue those astronauts that Boeing stranded.
Oh my God.
Don't kill me.
And what is that retail for? The El Septimo quad flame.
Not for sale. I was told not for sale.
Oh.
Tom's personal collection. He just wanted it shown off.
Nice.
So, well, it is for sale, I'm sure, for the right price.
Not here.
So if you come bug Tom, I'm sure he'll sell it to you for the right price. And it's got the, I don't know, I don't ever see myself using a cigar holder.
It's got the cigar stand.
Yeah, I don't, I've never been that snobby.
No, but I could definitely, like, I use one, like, on my back porch and stuff, you know? Like, I'll be grilling or something. I got to put it somewhere.
Yeah, I usually have a stinky, I have a stinky tray in my backyard.
Yeah, I've got a Stinkies as well, but I
Yeah.
don't put it on the edge of the grill
Oh, yeah,
because I don't
no.
want grill ash and shit getting in my burgers.
I'm pretty sure your cigar would be gone if you set it on the grill.
No, I have like a, you know, it's got like the
I know what you're
space
talking.
around
I
the.
know what you're. I'm just talking
Come
shit.
on, man. All right. Oh, I better turn my ringer off since I'm the most popular man in the world.
Jeez. The collectors and the IRS.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so popular with the debt collectors of the IRS. All right, so we got a couple of draws on here, and I've got some thoughts about the taste. What do you think?
Yeah, funny enough, it actually tastes like toasted, like graham crackers, sweet graham crackers, just like regular plain, not like honey or sugar or cinnamon.
Toasted, yeah, toasted Graham. Yeah, definitely. I was talking to Tom. He said he ranks this a four in strength. I think that's fair. It's definitely mid body, mid strength, you know, which is a little surprising for a Nicaraguan.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I would say, okay, so leather,
Yeah, a little bit.
white pepper, and cedar are probably the three main notes I'm picking up.
A mossy oak. Not like the
Like
Camo
a
Grande, but a moss, an actual,
shotgun.
yeah, an actual mossy oak. Have you ever been like in an oak forest and it's mossy, like right after a rain and it gets a little
Slightly
mossy?
damp.
Yeah.
Yes, it has that must umami. Yes, it does remind me of that. Yeah, there's something toasted in there. It almost reminds me of like my grandmother had chestnut trees,
Okay.
and we had this romantic idea, you know, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, that you could roast chestnuts that way.
Yeah.
And so we would take them inside, you know, like four or five, and we'd take them inside. By the way, you know, chestnuts are covered in a big spiky ball,
Yeah.
right? So halfway through, I got distracted and realized we could use them as weapons. But at some point, they ended up inside, and they're like, we're like sticking them as close to the fire as we can. And my grandma's like, you realize that that's never going to be edible.
Yeah.
You can actually throw a chestnut in the fire
Yeah.
until the outside like burns up
Yep.
and it'll peel away. But anyway,
Also, don't try this at home. Hide them under like your sibling's blanket. Like it.
oh, for sure,
And then when
man.
they go to,
I
I
mean,
didn't do that
the
by the way.
stuff that we, so we did this thing where I dared my sister. I was teaching her how to be a spy. Like, this is how kids
Okay.
think. I'm like, you're gonna be a spy. I'm like, okay, your first test is you have to jump out of this tree. And I had taken all the chestnuts and put them on the other side of the tree where she couldn't see them. And she climbed up and I like pushed her off.
That is terrible.
I know. Course, we were little Indians, so bare feet, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it kind of reminds me of the smell of that slightly green
Yeah.
still, you know, like casing
Yeah.
as it would start to smolder from the fire and catch.
Nice.
And you know, that slightly nutty, slightly green.
Yeah, my by the way, you already know this, but my olfactory senses are like 60% at the moment.
Yeah,
So,
I can hear it. You're a little nasally.
yeah, I'm a little nasally, so pardon me,
But
guys.
I gotta carry the torch today.
Yep.
I got your back. Oh, while we're busy enjoying our first few notes of this, Lord Baltimore, Nicaragua. Check this out. This is the Arturo Fuente Winter Series,
Yeah, this is
six
pretty cool.
can shaped glasses. I did purchase this here at Davidoff Cigars in Westminster for $60, so basically $10 a glass. And these are super cool. So each glass is shaped like a beer can.
That.
And each one has etched into it. This is actually sandblast. I know a little bit about this.
Oh.
But it's got the Arturo Fuente on the bottom.
Nice.
This one is the Arturo Fuente logo. There's a Forbidden X logo.
If you want to pull another one out real quick.
Casa Cuba. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, nobody can see that because of the glare. But super cool. Can't wait to throw these on my little, I've got a little, it's a quarter moon liquor cabinet. And up top, there's like things to hang the wine glasses and shit.
Nice.
So it just sits in the corner of my kitchen dining room.
Fancy.
Fancy. Very fancy. Can't wait to add these to the shelf. I mean, they're just cool.
Yeah.
You know, and of course I like Fuente, and you know, I better put the top back on. I'm going to break these in the way. Put the top on. So there we go. And stuff like this isn't always just available, but the Castro brothers, of course, have been in the industry for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so Davidus Cigars gets their hands on some stuff that you can't get everywhere.
Yeah, in the biz for over 20 years. Well, in this biz for over 20 years and in the tobacco world for longer.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. This has a Happy Holidays postcard on the outside of it. Happy Holidays. We wish you peace, love, and happiness this holiday season. Please enjoy this gift of glasses as we toast to the new year. With love. Fuente and the Fuente. Oh, Carlito Fuente and the Fuente.
Yeah, that big C right there gives it away.
Apparently Dr. Carlito Fuente.
Dr. Carlito Fuente.
Mm-hmm. God, that's such a good cigar. It's right in my wheelhouse,
dude. It is great, man. That is almost a new daily.
So this is the Lord Baltimore, Nicaragua. We are smoking the Toro, and we saw the presentation here. These retail for $9.99.
Yes.
In Maryland.
Maryland.
You know, so Maryland has the politician tax on there. You know, the extra money we all pay because our politicians aren't very good.
Yeah. We got to be careful. We might get kicked out of Maryland for talking like that.
Right. Orbiting from our space station.
Yeah.
The smoky back room of the space station because
we got kicked out.
Anyway, so this is distributed by Lord Baltimore Distributors and is available.
Yeah.
What, exclusively at Davidus? Is that right?
Yeah, because it's their label. Yeah, Lord Baltimore is their label.
So, and of course, you have the
ship
Baltimore Harbor and more. Lord Baltimore, I'm sure you'll talk about who that was.
Yes.
But obviously, well, Baltimore is named after
Lord this Baltimore. Person. Yeah.
Actually, it's the other way around. Yeah. He was born in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And so they called him Lord Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually surprised the city didn't get renamed like Van Gogh or something.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Or, Poe City. Or Nevermore.
Yeah.
Or Nevermore. All right. So why don't you tell us a little bit about this cigar and then we'll kind of go from there.
All right. Cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So this cigar is pretty cool. As we mentioned, you might have heard of this company made by Plasencia. This cigar is this physical cigar is 16 years old. The tobacco is probably aged around 8-10 years, right around ish, and then
all of the tobacco in the Lord Baltimore, Nicaragua,
yes,
is from 2007,
yep,
2008, or 2009,
yep,
Plasencia tobacco,
yeah,
and they were rolled in 2017,
something like that.
So yes, the cigar has 7 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
The tobacco has the youngest leaf. They said has 9 years of age on.
Yep.
That's in it. So it's an old cigar and you can tell, you know, it's really got that aged umami flavor that great tobacco gets.
That's where that little must comes from.
Yeah.
But like, you know, for what you're getting here, an aged Plasencia and you're paying under $10.
Dude, it's that's insane.
Fucking crazy. This is an easily $25, $30 stick in your hand.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ometepe is what, fucking 100?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, and that's probably aged only 10.
Yeah.
I mean, it is Ometepe, but still, it's only 10 years old.
Yeah, I mean, here in Maryland, your Placencias are 20 to 30 bucks.
Yeah.
You know, north of the border in Pennsylvania, you can get some for 17.
16, 12.
Yeah. 12 well, bucks. Those are like 15 here.
Yeah.
But you're basically getting a $25 cigar, $22 mm-hmm. cigar for yeah. 10. So fantastic, fantastic value.
Yeah, for what it is.
And this fantastic value is all, that is what house cigars are all about.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why we're going to talk about house cigars today.
Yeah. And this is a Nicaraguan Habano Puro.
Yes. By the way, this was the first, I don't think it's the only anymore, but it was the first Nicaraguan Habano Puro ever.
Hmm.
First one.
Wow. That's two firsts on the show.
Well, and, you know, of course, Placencia would be
yeah.
the ones to make
right.
the first.
Oh, not to mention, this is pre-Placencia.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. This is when Placencia was
just to make
growing it. Stuff and making other people's labels before they came out with the... That was 2017.
Right. This is way, way, way before yeah. that. So this is
crazy. Tobacco 10 years before that.
Yeah, so this we're smoking Placencia history. Not only just yes. a product, Placencia yes. history yes. right here.
Yep. Yeah, I mentioned on the Ometepe show, like, you know, I remember when they came out, and I actually remembered the year exactly yeah. right. And it was like, what are these fucking overpriced cigars? And, you know, and, but I talked to the tobacconist, of course, I knew some stuff back then. And he was like, no, you don't understand. Here's the brands that are actually made by
Placencia. Right.
Because I knew they made cigars for other people, and they were huge in Nicaragua. Like, they had a lot of fields and stuff. And he was like, no, here's the brand. And he started going through them, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd only been smoking 6 years at that point. I really didn't know
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
And that blew me away.
So I gave him a shot, and I was mm-hmm. like, fuck, this is worth 17 bucks.
Yeah, the Alma Fuerte was my first.
Oh, my gosh. What a cigar.
Yeah.
What a cigar. But this is essentially a $10 Placencia.
Now, actually, now that I think about it, I don't think any of Placencia's core line is aged this long either.
No. I can't think of any.
So it's like, dude, like, get it's it.
A very special cigar.
Yeah, get it before. I don't even know how long they have these for, because I'm not even sure if it's limited besides just them selling it.
No, like, they're not producing any more of them.
Yeah,
that's right. From yeah, as far as I know, like, no, they produced these, and now they're going to sell it.
Yeah, so.
When they sell out, they're gone.
Yeah, so get it.
Yeah, they've got plenty.
This is cigar history, like I'm saying.
But not forever. Yeah, this is one of those, like, you know, it's like the, well, it's like the Four Roses bourbon, uh-huh. where it's like regular old cheap Four Roses bourbon. For people that know bourbon, they're like, that's a damn good bourbon
mm-hmm.
for a good price, you know. And so then as soon as like the New York Times says, hey, Four Roses bourbon is pretty good for the price, then you can't find it.
It shoots up.
Yeah, everybody buys it out. I don't think the price will go up on this, but I do think they're going to go away.
Yeah, kind of like those asshole YouTubers that made skirt meat jump up like 50%.
Yeah, fuck you guys. Yeah. We used to be able to afford beef. It wasn't very good, but we could afford it. Yeah. Now it's like, oh, if you cook your beef skirt correctly, it tastes like filet mignon. No, well, first of all, it doesn't.
No.
Second of all, are you surveying meat? What the fuck is wrong with you?
So I made my tacos, and now they're more expensive. Fucking assholes.
Yeah. I'm going to get a cow, dude. I'm pretty sure, like,
cow's cheaper.
Well, like, Brenda and I are looking around,
mm-hmm.
and she wants, like, you know, a McMansion. And I'm like, no, I want a fucking ranch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna get land. I'm gonna put fucking cows and horses on it. You know, it's pretty easy. Put food in one end, clean shit off the other end, and eat what's in the middle. You know?
Yeah.
And speaking of which, I need to get a floor freezer for the basement. And buy half a cow.
Yeah, I know a guy.
We should split one.
I'm down.
Yeah, let's do that. I'll talk to the old lady.
Quarter cow, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can go in. Mm-hmm. You don't have to buy the whole cow yourself.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, meats and smoking. And we're talking about smoking and meats. So
I think meat. This cigar would pair extremely well with beef.
A steak.
Yeah, I know it's light. I mean, it's perfect, medium body. Though. The flavor profile is just screaming, feed me a fucking steak.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just hungry and a carnivore.
Yeah. But no, like if you're eating a legit steak and like a strong cigar, you're fucking your stomach up. Not like fucking it up, but it's a heavy hour that you're putting
Well,
your body through.
it is, but also like I might smoke a Padron after a steak dinner, but not with it.
Right.
Because honestly, they ruin each other. The cigar is too strong for that steak, and I want to enjoy the steak. Meanwhile, the steak is like depositing fats and stuff on your tongue. And now, if you don't know, when you eat fatty foods before you're smoking a cigar, typically the fat will bring out bitter and spicy flavors and mute the other ones. Which, Padrones are spicy enough. I don't need that shit. And part of that has to do with where the fat sticks on your tongue, and it leaves open typically the sides on the back and the tip of your tongue. Well, that's where you taste the bitter and the sweet.
Yeah, we ought to do an episode where we're grilling and smoking a cigar at the
Yeah,
same
we're
time.
gonna. We're totally, yeah, we're doing that. Backyard bullshit episode. Yeah. All right. So as far as the flavor profile goes, it hasn't changed much.
Little bit more peppery for me.
I think the pepper's picked up a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. I was saying like white pepper earlier, and now it's like red telly cherry pepper, or it's not black pepper, but it's stronger than white pepper. And a touch of pink Himalayan salt. You taste the saltiness?
Little, now that you suggested it. I don't know if it's the power suggestion or not.
I think it tastes a little, just a touch salty, like on the inside of the lips and the tip of the tongue,
Little bit.
in a very delicious way.
Yeah.
This reminds me of a well-cooked skirt steak. All right, I think it's time to take a break. When we come back, we'll do our tobacconist tip of the week.
Okay.
All right, don't go away. And we are back on Burnline Podcast, Uncommon Cigar Knowledge for the Common Cigar Smoker. Angel, tobacconist tip of the week.
All right, tobacco tip of the week. So once again, we've been asked email. We've read the email through break, but anyways, we got asked about ashing cigars again. Somebody had an accident while ashing. They popped their wrapper because there were a cigarette smoker that transferred to a cigar smoker, and
And
then
they're
did the
doing.
old, no, not the finger, but the
Oh, on the it. Oh, yeah.
yeah. So for those of you that don't know or know whatever, make sure you tell your people that are new. Don't tap your cigar on the ashtray because you can pop your wrapper because remember, this is hot and depends on what cigar you're smoking, your wrapper densities are different. So I'm guessing whatever they were smoking was a thin wrapper and they
Connecticut.
popped it. Yeah,
Yeah.
Connecticut.
Yeah.
So obviously best way to do it, in my opinion, is to just roll your cigar up against the ashtray and it'll make that ash come right off.
And that's it.
And that's it. And then that's causing zero damage to your cigar. So easiest way, that's how you do it without damaging your cigar. Because I don't know what the extent of their damage was, but they said it popped the wrapper in.
Oh, and here's another one that I hate. You ever see this?
Oh, that you'll do the same thing.
You can damage your wrapper, but here's the other fucking annoying thing is like little flakes of ash fly off and float everywhere, right? When you put it down in the ashtray and roll it, it stays largely together, and the little bit of ash that comes off stays in the bowl.
Yeah. Oh, and don't tamp your, it's not like a cigarette either. I mean, both either on the edge, but don't tamp your cigar directly down onto the ashtray either.
Oh, like when you're done with it?
No, not even done. Like to ash
Oh,
it.
to, yeah, like,
Yeah, because
yeah,
you'll put it out
definitely.
and then, or you're gonna push ash in. So not only are you gonna smoke
Yes.
fresh tobacco, not fresh tobacco, but lit tobacco, but ash as well. So you're gonna
Yeah.
get a little
Yeah.
acrid back in. So it's not a good time. Don't do it. But if you're walking or whatever, just a little flick won't hurt it.
Yeah.
But while you're sitting down, if you have an ashtray, roll it. So back in the tip of the week. Quick and
All
easy.
right. You can also roll the cigar on the underside of your driver's side mirror.
Yeah.
If you're driving. Ask me how I know that. All right.
Or let the wind take everything.
Yep. Typically, like, just boom.
Yep. It's gone.
Watch out for the guy in the Kia behind you.
Yeah.
Except for me with my 35-inch motors.
Yeah.
Just goes over everything.
Oh, and just for brownie points in the algorithm, don't be a dick. Don't throw your cigar out the window and cause a roadside fire.
On that note, all right, why don't we talk about house cigars? So we are smoking the Lord Baltimore Nicaragua 6x54 Toro, retailing for $9.99. By the way, these come in other sizes. And we have here the 5-pack of Churchill's. And there's actually 4 Vitolas available.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Lord Baltimore Nicaragua. Yeah, I like half of the Churchill. What is that called? The Corona?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the presentation on the box as well, man.
It's pretty cool. And it's a slide out, right?
So it's a double thing for me. It looks like a book.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a VHS tape.
Yeah.
You're like, what's a VHS for the new kids listening?
But yeah, the tray slides out, which makes you, you know, you can get the cigar out without mangling it. I hate the boxes that have like the fold top.
Yeah.
You're like, do I tap the cigar? Like, how does it actually come out?
Yeah.
And then they're sleeved together.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about the box is that, like, it's not really travel helpful.
Yeah, it'll just slide around. It'll just slide out.
I mean, you can throw it in a travel bag or whatever, but tape. It's not like exactly, you know.
Another use for Flex Seal tape.
Yeah.
Keeps your cigars permanently in their box. You'll never get them out.
Nope. So.
Quit smoking now with Flex Seal tape. Do you think I have to cut that out?
I don't know.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Not sponsored.
I can say duct tape, right?
Yeah, you can say duct tape. Yeah, I think it's just universal. Yes, it's a brand, but it's kind of like Band-Aid.
Is it?
Like, you know.
That's a brand too?
That's the main brand of Band-Aid.
Duct tape. No, not Band-Aids. Band-Aids are, I mean, duct tape. That's just the name of it. That's not a name brand.
Duct tape is the brand.
It has a duck.
Yes.
Yeah, but duct tape.
Duct tape. Yes,
yeah,
correct.
D-U-C-T tape.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to pronounce the T clearly so you don't get sued.
Yeah.
Duct tape your cigar box.
Duct tape.
Duct tape. Duct tape. It actually is duct tape. D-U-C-K.
Yeah.
You can't use it on ducts.
No,
it'll
you can't.
Fucking fall apart.
You can use it on airplanes, though.
It's called duct tape because it's water off a duck's back. It's waterproof. You know what it was invented for, right?
Taping ducks together?
Yes. This is a Minnesota sport. Sounds something Midwestern. We take ducks together and race them across the lake. No, it was actually for affixing explosives to bridges in World War II.
Nice.
And so it's waterproof, and you can apply duct tape underwater, test it out. Works great. So it's duck, like an actual duck. Takes to water well.
This shit.
That is meaningless shit that you will never use on this cigar podcast.
So, uncommon knowledge for the common cigar smoker.
Yeah, uncommon tape knowledge. All right, so anyway, delicious smoke. And like we said, you know, Plasencia tobacco from before the Plasencia brand.
Right.
Made in the Plasencia factory.
In Esteli.
In Esteli. Medium body, medium smoke, good smoke output.
Yeah, actually.
Pepper, leather, cedar, a very classic tasting cigar. It kind of reminds me of a Fuente, Chateau Fuente Natural.
Yeah.
With more pepper and a little more like, it's starting to feel like roasted cashews.
A little bit.
Slightly buttery.
Yeah. A little silky too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a house cigar. So let's talk about house cigars.
Okay.
Here's where I'm at is, you know, you've got a lot of different approaches to cigars mm-hmm. in the hobby, and that's great. Like the diversity is what makes it awesome. So you have the daily smokers, you have the more than one a day smokers, you have the once a week, you have the collectors, you know, and I kind of all play in the same sandbox,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, get along. But you cannot deny the power of marketing and branding, right? And so, especially people just getting in to the cigar industry. They'll be like, do you have a Davidoff? Do you have a, you know, they'll be thumbing through, like, you know, Cigar Aficionado's top 25.
Do you have Olivia?
Do you have a Sin Compromiso? You know,
Like they're asking for something special. You know, and it's like, well, it's not that special. Everyone knows it's on.
You have Cubans.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, if you want a Cuban, this is a fucking dead ringer. It smokes an awful lot. Close. Yeah. It smokes an awful lot like a classic Cuban. Maybe a little less strong.
Yeah. I was gonna say this Cubans, is very rustic.
Yeah, classic Cubans have this color, they have this flavor profile, but the nicotine content, I think, is a little stronger. But
yeah,
it's Habano seed, so it makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it's very mild. I like it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll talk about use case later, but damn, I can already think of a lot of things you can do with this.
So, what a house brand is a cigar that doesn't have the millions of dollars in marketing and distribution and everything that regular cigar companies have to pay for, and they're basically commissioned by typically a cigar store.
Or individual.
Yeah. But if you're going into a, if you're going into a tobacconist like Davidoff Cigars here in Westminster, you know, the store is going to have house brands and most of your cigar stores do.
Yeah.
Right. So they're manufactured for a store, and so the distribution's already there. Fucking UPS them, you know. And they don't have to pay for anything other than the finished product.
Right.
And so the price point is largely determined by how fancy you want to get.
Right.
So I've seen house bands that are just a fucking bundle of sticks.
Mm-hmm.
No band, no nothing.
Right. Right.
And then the Lord Baltimore, where the presentation is Placencia worthy, to be honest with you.
Fuck yeah.
You know, like, it's a good presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that naval blue just really catches the eye.
Yeah, it pops. It pops for sure. And so, but like we said, this is a Placencia from $9.99. And a lot of house brands are very good quality sticks. Yeah. They just don't have the panache. Now, I'm going to talk about that in a minute because it's important in the cigar industry. But going back to the value, they're typically the best value in any cigar store's humidor. There's rules. In some cases, the producer has no problem with you saying where they came from. I think a good example would be the Garofalo. So Two Guys Smoke Shop up in New Hampshire. I think they got a couple of locations, but they have the Garofalo named after Dave Garofalo. Shout out to Dave. He's one of the godfathers of retail cigars. And also does a lot to fight for our freedoms.
Yeah.
They're made by Perdomo, and they say it with pride, right? But then you'll have other ones, and it's like, no, don't tell anybody you got them from us.
Right.
Davidoff is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
There are a ton of house cigars made by Davidoff. Makes a lot of cigars, but the Davidoff brand is high end.
Yeah.
So it's like if Mercedes-Benz was making cars for like Kia, they're like, you don't tell anybody this came off our production line, you know, put your fucking Kia badge on it or whatever. Because they don't want to dilute the brand. And it makes sense from a business standpoint.
Right.
So there's a couple of companies that pretty much exclusively like make cigars for others. They don't brand their own stuff. Placencia was one of them.
Yeah.
Right. Not anymore. What's a couple of others
that Arturo make? Fuente does some.
Yeah, Fuente does. All of them do.
Yeah.
All of the big
for
ones.
For security purposes, I'm not going to say who they're going for.
Yeah. No, they all of the big
name cigar companies,
they have to fill out their production capacity somehow.
Right.
You know, and use up tobacco and stuff like that. That's typically how they do it. But there's a couple of companies that pretty much only make house brands. Like, they don't have their own label.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you think of any off the top of your head?
Actually, I really can't. Not right at the moment. Because, like I said, Placencia was exclusive.
It's like three initials. I'm trying to remember the name of the company.
Not CLE or SL. No.
Not HVC. Not CLE. Yeah, those are all regular cigar brands. But I can't remember. There is a company. But anyway, so there's cigar companies out there where they haven't ever actually branded their own stick.
Okay.
Just makes sticks for other people,
mm-hmm.
And they end up as house brands. And so the value to the consumer of a house brand is often these are top-notch cigars. Sometimes they can advertise where they came from, right? And here at Davidoff, they have a lot of house brands, So check this binder out of available cigars. And I'm going to go through these so that you get an idea of, you know, what is available on the shelf for a very affordable price.
Mm-hmm. Are we talking about APS?
Mm.
That's what it was. Sorry, it just came.
Yes, APS.
APS. They don't make their own. That's right.
Yeah. APS is a big player in that space.
Yeah.
All right. So, can't read the glasses on. So, you have the Lord Calvert. This is made by Davidoff in the Dominican Republic. It's a medium strength, tasting notes of sweet cream, cocoa, leather, earth, and pepper. The blend took 2 years to make and is a Castro Brothers limited release. Basically, it's a half-priced Davidoff. Right? The Robert Small Little Panatella. So if you don't know what a Panatella is, it's like a cigarillo,
mm-hmm.
basically. Yes. Smaller than a, what do you call it, a Lancero.
Okay.
Larger than a cigarette, right? So the Robert Small is made by Jose Dominguez, right? So if you're not familiar, no. Jose Dominguez makes some really good, affordable sticks. In the Dominican Republic, this is a mild medium with tasting notes of cream, wood, cocoa, and hay. If you're looking for a great value, these are a quick short cigar that are also available in a box of 100, natural or Maduro. So if you're looking for that dog walker,
nice.
You know, this is that, I don't know, I've never smoked one. I don't want to say how long, but they don't smoke long.
Right.
Right? But you're also not wasting the stick. Robert Small Little Churchill. Also from Jose Dominguez, same tasting notes, but Churchill size. Right? There is the Lord Baltimore Nicaragua that we're smoking, made by Plasencia in Nicaragua, medium body, cedar, leather, slight peppers, their tasting notes, which is mm-hmm. pretty much what we're tasting. I think there's a little more complexity.
Yeah, there's a little bit more.
But so manufactured by Plasencia with Nicaraguan Habano tobaccos from 2007, 2008, and 2009. The youngest tobacco in the blend is over 10 years old and makes the cigar as smooth and rich as can be. The first ever cigar to be a Nicaraguan Habano product. We also have the Lord Baltimore.
Yeah.
Not the Lord Baltimore, Nicaragua. This is made by Altadis in the Dominican Republic. This is a mild cigar, sweet cream, honey, and almond. And of course, Altadis is famous for owning half of Habano's SA.
Yeah.
They have to be half capitalist or they can't get their product out. It has a the highest grade Connecticut shade wrapper. And these are rolled in Tabacalera de Garcia in La Romana. So it's a AAA grade wrapper grown in the Connecticut River Valley. Mm-hmm. So an actual Connecticut.
Yep.
Best mild cigar in the humidor. Period.
Yep.
If you like milds, that's the one for you.
The breakfast blend made by AJ.
Oh, I haven't even got there.
Yeah, you
got
to find that.
here's another one, the Sea Knight. This is also made by Plasencia. This is a medium full with tasting notes of pepper, leather, wood, cocoa, and earth. Made by Alec Bradley to pay homage to Steve Castro's military service and operations, Desert Storm and Desert Shield.
Nice.
The Sea Knight is the helicopter Steve flew during the war, and his Naval Academy graduation year, squadron name, and call sign are all on the label. So if you're a full-flavored cigar enthusiast, that's the one for you. And I mean, there's fucking 30 of these. I can't go through all of them.
Right.
The Leather Neck, the Hobson's Choice Sapphire.
Rocky makes some of their stuff too.
Yes. The Isabella Camarun from Bolivia. And you know, so Oliva makes the Siri G Camarun,
yeah.
which is one of the best Camarun cigars on the market. And Oliva gets the second best Camarun. Fuente snaps up as much as they
mm-hmm.
can. So that's just a handful. And these are $10 sticks.
Yep.
You know, there's a range of prices there. The Robert Small is much more affordable. But, you know, anywhere from $6 to $12 for some top-notch cigars. Right? So, and this is what's available at Davidoff Cigars here in Westminster, one of the other 11 locations. But all cigar stores, typically, not all of them, but a large number of them have house brands.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the value for the consumer.
Yeah.
Right.
You know how many times I've heard it when I've been behind the counter and mostly newbies or novice or even like seasoned smokers walk by and they see the, you know, because they're usually the first jars in front of the counter, $4 stick, house, whatever. Like, oh, don't buy those. Those are the shitty cigars. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You don't even know. Shut up. Yeah. Like, no, this is great fucking cigar. This is great tobacco.
Hey, made by me.
Right. If you don't want to buy it, good for you. You're a dumbass. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that. You know, this is good tobacco. Buy it. Even if you don't know who it's from, it's probably some big grower that you enjoy now anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it's just so stupid to walk in and be like, oh, that's crap because it's cheap. Like, we've already had the discussion.
Yeah, you can't judge on price. And it goes the other way, too. You know, there are very few cigars more than $25 that are worth the more than, unless you're going for the experience, like with the Ometepe.
Yeah.
Or you're a collector or something like that. It's like, to me, it's the difference between El Septimo has a $250 bottle of cognac and a $950 bottle. The $950 bottle is not four times better.
Right.
It's just not, or three times better.
Yeah.
It's just not. It's better, but it's not three times better. Right. And this same is true as cigars. So you can't judge by price. Right.
Right.
All right. But now let's talk about the drawback. Right. So the other side to that is there is absolutely an element of cigar smoking about luxury, about ego, about enjoyment. So it's kind of like someone telling you, hey, the Kia Telluride is a great, awesome SUV. It is. But you know what? It ain't a fucking G-Wagon. It just isn't.
Right.
Right? And if you can afford a G-Wagon and you want a G-Wagon, buy the G-Wagon. Right? There is an element of cigar smoke. And this is one of the reasons. It's the experience, right? One of the reasons that we don't do blind taste tests is that's not fair.
Right.
Nobody smokes a cigar that way. Now, if that's the protocol, you know, like Cigar Snob uses or something, good for you. You guys do that. We're not serving our listeners that way.
Right.
We're absolutely celebrating the frame, the presentation, the artwork, because it makes you feel a certain way.
Right.
And there is a huge difference between smoking a house, especially if nobody knows what it is. Hey, what are you smoking? Oh, I'm smoking the house, you know. Versus smoking like the Casa Fuente we smoked a month ago or so.
Plus, like, this is a hobby where you know what you're getting and you want to know what you're getting. So it's like, there's an expectation too. I have an expectation. That's why I don't think for me the blind test would work. It's like, no, I need to know because I have an expectation that this cigar needs to meet because of, you know, this company's,
yes,
the way they make their cigars.
That's how actual consumers consume cigars.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, the house brand is a tremendous value. Now, I think the Lord Baltimore and some of the house brands here at Davidus are a little different because they put the cards together on purpose.
Yep.
You know, they celebrate the quality and value that you're getting. And as soon as I saw this, I'm like, I'm fucking smoking that. Are you kidding me? A 17-year-old or whatever,
right?
You know, Placencia.
Yeah,
I'm smoking that for $10. Come on.
I mean, 17, anything aged, you know, over 10 years, tobacco-wise.
But not every house blend has that advantage. But if you're looking for value, try to ask the tobacconist. Sometimes they'll tell you, well, we can't tell you this, but this is made by dot, 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 right? And so you can find out even if you're not supposed to know.
Right.
Or you didn't hear it from me, but somebody once told me. But that ties into the drawback as well. Why would they say that?
Yeah.
Well, they would say that because that brand has fucking cachet and sometimes decades of quality, you know, and flavor and enjoyment where you're like, oh, I trust that brand. And that is what the house brands don't. They don't have the prestige. Hey, it's a real part of cigars.
Yeah.
You feel you smoke a Monarch Platinum, you feel different. Than smoking an Aladino. You just do. Aladino is a great cigar, by the
way. Yeah.
It's a tenth of the price.
Yeah.
You know, so it is a real part of cigar smoking. And on this show, instead of going the other way and saying, oh, no, we're going to hide all of that. We're going to take the bands off.
Yeah.
Well, sure. That's just a palate test.
Yeah.
That's all that is. You're just testing your palate. Mm-hmm. That's not how people smoke and enjoy cigars.
No. Okay?
And so I think it's only fair, you know, to share with our audience, hey, if you're smoking a house brand, you might be giving up some cachet. You might be giving up some prestige. But you're probably not giving up flavor, and you're definitely not giving up value.
Yeah.
So I think everybody should dig into the house brands. If you've got ones as excellent as this to choose from, it's a no-brainer.
Right.
But even if you don't, you got the unnamed, you know, it's like a glass jar and they're in there with no bands or whatever. At least ask a question.
Yeah.
What's it made from? How old is it? Who rolled it? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And it's a staple to cigar lounges. Not only that, but it's like if you buy a house blend, you're also helping your lounge out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Because, like, that's more cash directly to them to keep them going.
Yeah. Yeah, typically their margins are going to be pretty good on a house brand, and, you know, helps with cash flow and stuff. So, and then kind of like almost a use case, but, dude, fucking, if you're in that group I was talking about that smokes every day, and I am sometimes. I have been for like 3 months now on a daily smoke kick.
Yep.
Largely because of the podcast. And then sometimes I'll go more than a month where I just have one a week or something. But if you're like a day, dude, fucking, this is the daily smoke.
Yeah.
You know, if you want something nice and special, that's your Sunday smoke.
Yeah.
But the rest of the week, I mean, how do you beat a fucking Plasencia Toro for $10?
Dude, yeah. You're literally daily smoking a $30 stick.
Right, right.
For 10 bucks. So it's like, yeah, you want to feel bougie as fuck and impress people. Not only that, but it's like if you want to feel like you know something or whatever, walk into a lounge in one of these and then people ask you, what is that? And you can start going off. Oh, by the way,
Before Plasencia was Plasencia, when men did battle with the dinosaurs.
That's right.
There was a tobacco field. I should totally be in marketing, dude.
Yeah, give us a call, Plasencia.
All right, man, time is getting away from us. We're gonna have to wrap this episode up. So why don't we take our second break? Come back to Tobacconist News of the Week.
Yeah, we'll do that. News of the Week.
Don't go away. And we are back on Burnline Podcast, the most awesome cigar podcast in the world, with your hosts, Johnny Midas and El Fumo.
We're the best in the multiverse.
The best in the multiverse.
That's right.
I want an Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
I do. Oof.
It's kind of.
All right, so we're totally going to get canceled for this, but I saw this meme, and it said, so Thanos just got fed up with everyone and decided to start over from scratch.
Yeah.
And the picture, though, was Noah's Ark.
We dig it.
I was like, oh, my God.
All right. Real quick, first band test. I don't like it.
Not awesome.
No, it's glue.
Peeled off. It's glued. Yeah. All right. I'm doing mine, too. All right. Mine's coming off. No, it's not.
That was the first band.
No,
which, it's we're doing the main band? Or
okay. Yeah, so not awesome. And, yeah, definitely using glue. So.
No.
Plasencia, get your shit together.
No, that wasn't Plasencia.
Oh, they didn't band them?
No, they just I don't think they did. Or if they did band them, they probably asked them how to.
Who cares? Nobody.
Yeah, whatever. Don't use glue. Proof pectin. Damn it.
Anyway, but the bands came off without damaging the wrapper. There was no glue on the wrapper. So, good points. It was good. All right, what's the news, man?
All right, news of the week. So, / releases. H. Upman, did you have the 175th anniversary?
I did. I have one in my special collection.
Me too. I actually won the box as a gift at a Christmas party.
Yeah, you gave me one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I still have like two or whatever sticks left. But anyways, H. Upman is now releasing the 180th. Ships out next week.
Wait a minute. How is H. Upman 180 years old?
I don't know.
Are they counting by tens?
I think.
There's probably some history there that if we were good podcast hosts, we would know.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, $22.50 a stick, MSRP. So right around where it should be.
So 25, 26 here in Maryland, mm-hmm. probably.
5,000 boxes of 10. So not terrible. What is that, like? What is that, 200, 300?
What?
What's the price of that?
A box of 10?
Yeah.
You just add a zero. So yeah. $230.
That's what I was trying to figure out, 200.
Oh, my God. This guy. So okay. He brings the beauty to the show. I'll bring the brains. All right. So H. Upman, 180th. And what is the blend, does it say?
Yeah. So AJ made this again.
AJ, you dog.
Yeah.
His fingers are in everything.
Yeah, which I was love this he guy. Also made the 175th. So yeah. That's what Medio Tiempo rapper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So most famous for the Bahique.
Yeah, and then Nicaraguan Guts, you know.
Yeah. Nicaraguan Medio Tiempo.
Yeah.
So God, how many times am I gonna say this on the podcast? In case you just tuned in, when a cigar plant grows, 15% or so of the crop has two leaves at the top. Instead of three, they leave those on for twice as long. They go down around the stalk. They get brown and curly and delicious. And that is called medio tiempo. Mm-hmm. Now, medio tiempo is Spanish for halftime.
Halftime.
But it's actually double time.
Double time.
So I don't know, like, it doesn't translate.
I don't but get it, man.
Basically, they leave those two leaves on the stalk twice as long, and they get juicy and delicious. So that is cool, man. I'm totally picking that up.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm going to get a box. And then the next one, La Gloria Cubana Gran Legado is at stores. Oddly enough, guess which store is also at?
Davidoff Cigars.
It's also Davidoff Cigars. Check out this freaking gigantic thing.
This is like the El Septimo Botticelli, but slightly larger.
Like,
holy crap. Okay, are we smoking that on the show?
We're going to have to.
It's going to be a three-hour show.
MSRP is $14.99, but Maryland...
Maryland is what, 16? 16. Yeah.
But still, dude, 16 for this much smoke? That's insane.
That's a pretty good deal.
Dude, this is a stick, man. So, awesome that we actually have a physical stick of a release.
Okay, yeah. Let's smoke it on the show.
Yeah, we'll do it. So, that'll be dope as shit. So, then... For the Summer Olympics, Leroy Nyman. I don't know.
Like Neiman Marcus.
Neiman.
Leroy Neiman. Yeah.
So JC Newman is releasing for the collector's edition for the Summer Olympics. So that'll be on Friday. It's going to be hitting the stores. The cigar is going to be 6x52. So that's another big stick.
Toro.
Yeah. So it'll be an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. And it's going to be Florida sun-grown binder and filler from the Nicaragua and the U.S. So, Miami.
Florida sun-grown.
Uh-huh.
Binder and filler?
Yeah.
Dude, that sounds like a strong cigar, man.
And Nicaraguan.
Spice it.
So, three regions. So, you guys smoked the Vice, right? Mm-hmm. Or who was it? Drew Estate, where it was grown in Florida.
Oh, the 20-acre farm.
Was it the 20? No.
Yeah, the Drew Estate 20-acre farm. The wrapper is grown on the 20-acre farm in Florida.
Sunday. Okay, so yeah.
We might have smoked a different one, but that's the one I remember.
Yeah, so that's dope as shit. So some more U.S. grown tobacco. And then Rocky Patel Gold Label, heading to stores, has not been here yet, or actually is somewhere, but just not here.
Not released to general consumption yet.
Yeah.
The peons can't get it yet.
I have Tom tied in the back room right now until he gives me a stick.
And that lighter.
And then later,
El Septimo Four Flame.
So oddly enough, dude. So we talk about budget cigars, or you know, just this is like a $10 stick.
Oh,
okay. A $10 Rocky. How long has that been?
Hell yeah, Rocky. Way to bring it back. Because I mean, he's been on a tear. $40 cigars lately.
Yeah,
good cigars, but
yeah, Connecticut Broadleaf, and Connecticut Shade fillers from Esteli and Jalapa.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good stick.
A little bit of everything. I was like, let's go, man. Yeah.
Is Rocky rolling his own cigars these days?
I don't know.
I think Rocky is making their own cigars.
Like, oh, Rock! I thought you meant like Rocky himself. I'm like, maybe.
No, I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah, Rocky. Yeah,
they got their own factory now.
This is his. Yeah. This is theirs. Yeah,
because everyone starts out farming out that work, you know.
No, this is the company Tabacalera Villa Cuba S.A. in Esteli. I don't know who that was.
Long live the Queen Maduro.
Yeah, long live the Queen.
So that's a Caldwell?
Yeah.
Caldwell. It's gotta be.
Dude, it's been a while since we got a Caldwell.
Yeah.
So that's going to be dope.
They have Long Live the King. So I didn't figure it was King. A Caldwell.
Yes, sir. You got that right. Another budget stick. 15 bucks. I mean, kind of budgeted. 15 bucks.
Mid-range these days.
Yeah. Five and a half.
Like 3 years ago, that was an expensive stick. You're like, oh, you know, Diamond Crown, Julius Caesar, Churchill, $15, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they got a 6x60 for 18 bucks. That's a lot of tobacco.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not into that. I like the smaller ones. Too phallic ones. All right. That's enough news of the week. Appreciate that. Yeah. El Fumo, all the research you do every week to keep us on the cutting edge of what's happening in the cigar industry. Why don't we talk about the actual Lord Baltimore, mm-hmm. this is named after. Of course, it's a little bit, you know, it's local history. So,
yeah.
You know, we've talked about Davidoff Cigars in Westminster, Maryland. We're in Carroll County, so we're an hour from Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, Maryland is famous for the Chesapeake Bay, crab cakes, and, of course, a little infamous for Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, Baltimore, I hate to say it, but doesn't have a great reputation. Which is it's a shame. You know, yeah. There's a lot of rich history here.
Baltimore was the first New York City.
Literally. It was, yeah. It was the fort. I mean, we're talking like 1670, yeah. You know, like
people, way before. Like, when people think of colonization, they're like, oh, it's, you know,
yeah,
New York, Boston.
First.
Yeah, it's like, no. Like, they literally came in here, and Virginia was right there. That's why Virginia's named Virginia, after the Virgin Queen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's where everything had spread out from there, you know, Pocahontas, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, history started there. Sure, yeah. The pilgrims landed at, well,
what the Plymouth hell? Rock.
Plymouth Rock. Who cares? Dude, you know you can visit Plymouth Rock and it's literally a cage. I'm like, that's the dumbest thing
they that goes. They crashed their ship on this stone the size of your ashtray. Yeah.
So dumb.
Anyway, so you have Baltimore Harbor, you have the city of Baltimore.
Yeah.
Old, rich history. And, of course, you also have Annapolis, naval base, or I should say the Naval Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, regatta and sailing is really big in this area. And there's a lot of nice stuff in Maryland. And Baltimore still has some really nice parts, but
yeah,
it has kind of a reputation now, which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But where did that come from? History.
You're right.
We're doing history now.
Yeah. So Cecil Calvert Baltimore. And then do you want to guess his wife's name? She has a city named after her.
Cecilia?
No.
Oh.
No, that's weird. No, but her name was Anne Arundel.
Oh, Anne Arundel.
Yeah.
Like Anne Arundel County.
Yeah, Anne Arundel. Yeah.
Yes, Anne Arundel was also royal, or what do you call it, nobility?
Yeah.
Or something. So I think it was an arranged marriage, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah. Normal.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he was like one of the first governors slash, you know, they call them proprietors at the same time.
Proprietor.
Yeah, so he was the guy in charge of this area when it was first founded, blah, blah, blah.
Basically, the proprietor was in charge of commerce for the king. You know, the satisfaction of the locals was only important as relative as it was to making sure that shit got on ships to get back to England.
Right.
And also Maryland. And so what year was that?
Right here, I got it. 16... Sorry. Ooh. Around 1630.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, you know,
yeah,
Baltimore, the New World, Virginia, like, we're talking more than 100 years before the Revolutionary
War. Oh, yeah. It's fucking crazy. It's awesome as shit. Maryland's also bigger than most countries.
Maryland's actually not a tiny state. It is for the United States. Fucking Wyoming's and shit in Texas.
Comparatively, yeah.
But if you put like Maryland next to Germany on a map, you're shocked at how big it is.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, no wonder these Europeans are, you know, always shooting everywhere by train. I mean, fucking, you know, they're the size of our states, you know.
We should have a robust train system, but that's another conversation.
Dude, my grandpa would talk about that for hours. He was an engineer, and he was a big proponent. He worked on the, what is it called, the bullet train or something. And he was like, we have all the technology and everything for this to work flawlessly, and they do it in Japan and Germany.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, and in the U.S., our own fucking, like, ignorance and ego and shit gets in the way.
I mean, you know this.
Serving the public.
Yeah, you know, it's because efficiency is bad for business.
Well, the biggest hindrance to, like, Amtrak taking off, for example, on the East Coast was actually basically a series of legislative decisions that mm-hmm. cut funding and reduced oversight,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
No, efficiency is not bad for business. Yeah. It's fucking awesome for business.
Yeah, I've had some friends visit from Europe, and they're like, holy crap, this place is massive. I'm like, yeah. You know, you kind of take it for granted as an American because you're used to it. They're like, dude, like, a whole country can fit in Pennsylvania. Like, two countries can fit in Pennsylvania alone.
Yeah, but, like, you go to Japan, Germany, France, like, it will say, you know, train arrival, like, 7:03.
Yeah.
And then the next one is, like, 7:11. You know, and it's like, whoa, these are oddly specific numbers, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, boom, the train is there. And you have 30 seconds, you know, to get. But if you miss it, it's like, well, there's another one in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
New York Metro takes some fucking notes.
Oh, my God.
When's the last time you rode the Metro there?
Never.
Really?
Dude, I'm Johnny Midas. I take a chauffeur.
Fucking dude, man. I've ridden the Metro many times, and let me tell you, even the DC Metro, holy fuck, man, what a shit show.
So that's what Lord Baltimore's named after.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of history there. Yeah, people forget. Fucking 1630s, dudes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the history of colonialism in America. Yeah. Starts right there.
Get over it. I'm sorry, man. As a kid of an immigrant family, get over it. Like, cry about it. You live here. I just don't get it. Stop bitching. You live here. Stop bitching about it.
Yeah. Well, we have to have something to be dissatisfied about. We're not being chased by saber-toothed
cats. You know what we can be dissatisfied about as a country as a whole? These damn taxes, just like they were.
Oh, my gosh. Like, it's time to fucking throw some shit in a harbor.
Seriously.
Which kind of just happened in Baltimore.
Yeah, somebody ran
into a bridge and dumped a bunch of highway into the water.
No.
How's that for your bridges and roads tax? Take that.
Yeah, let's make it more expensive.
Yeah.
Oh my god. It didn't go the right way.
All
right.
It's time to rank this cigar. And as always, we have five vectors to rank the cigar. All right, let's start with presentation. So I like the presentation. Mm-hmm. I'd say it's mid-grade presentation. It is way better than some of the name brands on the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously not at the level of, well, Plasencia.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close, though. I don't know. I mean, I've got a solid 8.
I was going to say 9. That blue just blew me away.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll go with 8. Yeah, it's beautiful presentation all around. I mean, it doesn't pop like, you know, some of your like high-end sticks, but it's just head and shoulders above, you know, La Gloria Cubana. It's on par above Perdomo.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hell, anything from Monte Cristo, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to throw some shade on there.
I'm not throwing shade. I'm just saying, you know, they went to some trouble.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't like unbanded, unnamed cigar. Mm-hmm. All right, so at $9.99. Price.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I mean, 0 for Maryland, but as far as actual price, I want to give it a 9 because for what you're getting, like, holy shit, dude, you're not paying $30.
Yeah.
That's the big takeaway.
Totally there with you. $10 for a fucking decade and a half old Plasencia.
Uh-huh.
9. Yeah. Solid 9. All right, so let's talk about construction. And, you know, I typically start with 10 and work my way backwards. Mm-hmm. So here's what I've got. 0 issues. Perfect burn.
I agree.
You know, no wrapper flap.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't sort of come unraveled when we clipped that cigar with authority. Passed the band test. I mean, I don't know. I can't give it a 10. It's not perfect, but
9.
Yeah, I think 9. I think 9 is fair.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not much to critique here. I mean, there's a couple of places where, like, the
the wrapper has, like, you know, it's not perfectly sealed around the edge, but you know, that's just quibble. It doesn't affect the smoke.
I have nothing at all to complain about.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about flavor. This is not going to be in everybody's wheelhouse. Mm-mm. It is mid-bodied. Has a pepper component, but not like that fucking, you know, Padron Nicaraguan pepper. Yeah. It's a light pepper.
Yeah, light pepper.
It's really cedar and leather and pepper are the major components. But it has some subtleties. Like I said, it's some kind of finishing salt, like pink Himalayan salt.
Okay.
Some roasted cashews in there. When we were first starting it up, there was like this roasted, like you said, this musty roasted sort of thing going on. I think it has just excellent flavor. And I love medium cigars. That's my default.
This is, yeah.
So I'm probably going higher than, what were you thinking?
I was thinking 9 again.
I was going 8. Okay. So... I guess you get the win on that one since I got the win on the first one. All right, so let's talk about experience. And, you know, if we're going to talk about, like, use case.
Almost everything.
You can do fucking almost anything. Like, it's not a celebration. I think you could gift it to a cigar smoker that doesn't have access to them and say, hey, try this fucking $10 Placencia.
It's a great Annapolis graduation gift.
Oh, totally. Yeah. and if you're local, you know, like, this is a great Maryland cigar, you know. But everything else, you can enjoy it in the lounge, you know, you can grill with it, you can walk the dog with it, it's light enough.
Probably wouldn't do yard work with it. I have too much respect for it.
Yeah, I think that's off the table. You know, the ball game.
Either ball game.
Yeah, yeah. so yeah, a lot of use case. And then, you know, just my experience smoking it, it's not like one of those cigars that has major experiences, like first, third, second, third, third, third. It's fairly consistent. Mm-hmm. There just hasn't been that much change. So I'm probably going like a 7 on experience. It's
nice.
It's pretty good experience. I do think, you know, like a lot of house brands, it doesn't have the cachet or the panache, you know, some name brands, but it's delicious. And then it doesn't have like any kind of wow factor. Like,
yeah.
You know,
it's not very known.
Yeah.
Very unknown cigar.
Yeah. So I have a 7. What are you thinking?
Yeah, 7, 8, 7.
And that brings the total score for the Lord Baltimore Nicaragua to 42.
Nice.
That's pretty good. I mean, the value is fucking there, dude.
Seriously. Holy shit.
I think that's it. I got to finish this cigar, though.
Yeah, I agree.
For all of our friends out there in the interwebs, thanks for joining us on Burnline Podcast. We will see you again next week.